Where is he?
Blog Talk Radio.
This guy.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, you're right.
There he is.
They can do it.
Like I never left. Well, you are nuts. I think there's a reason why I put his part last in the intro, because he's always the last one to join the call.
Yeah, he is.
On time arrival.
That's not on time.
Okay,
bro.
Delta.
That's not on time, bro.
Especially on time arrival.
The Tom Coughlin way of speaking, that is definitely not on time, bro. So, anyway.
You're not on 10 minutes early.
I'm on at least 10 minutes early every single time, man. So,
well,
but
according to Tom Coughlin, it had to be 15 minutes.
Well, I mean, so, I am, but at that juncture, it doesn't really make any sense because nobody joins anyone. Yeah,
you stop bickering and start the show.
Yeah, I'm just saying, trying to tell me he on time. You're not on time, bro.
Our listeners expect to hear my voice at 10 p.m. on time.
Oh, bruh. All right. And so, if I don't hit the button, JQ, it doesn't even happen, man. Hey, of course, welcome. Of course, talking sports with 12, man. Today, of course, is the 16th of August. Shout out to my girl, my lady. Happy birthday, Marcy. She's going to have her birthday coming on Friday. So, fun times, man.
Nice.
We like to do, man. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get this party started. You got two of three voices, but obviously the main voice is me, Dre, your host. And let's kick it out to my other host of the show. Let's talk. He about 2 seconds, JQ. 2 seconds from getting the call back in. The first number of my first host, Mr. JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
He went all David Ruffin on us, didn't he? I'm the main voice. I'm the Temptations. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm just messing with you. I want to wish your wife a happy birthday and both you guys a happy anniversary as well. I thought I'd been in the game a long
time. Happy
birthday, Marcy. Been in the game a long time. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yep. Got married when I was 16, man, so all is well. But no, I really appreciate that as well. I wasn't upset at that comment too. I was just basically saying, I mean, somebody has to kind of lead the first person. We're all equal, but you know, obviously,
I just
have to be in the lead position. So anyway,
Dre,
I've been hanging around ladies too much. I've been hanging around ladies. I just feel like I gotta explain myself. It's all good.
Okay, my other guy. I'm not going with that statement. Yeah, so you.
I just feel like I gotta explain myself a lot. I don't know what it is. let's kick it out with my other co-host. You know, who thinks he's on time, but we'll talk about that later. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, Rob?
Man, on time arrival. I feel great.
CP time.
He said he was supposed to get the gate at 10. He got the gate at 9:59. He said that he is on time.
9:59. What'd you eat, Rob?
Oh, man. Yeah, what's up with the food, bro?
Had a little taste of a little shrimp campy steak.
Rob over there on tape delay.
He is serious on tape delay. All right. Let's get this party started. Me and JQ are ready to roll.
I ain't even had no drinks like JQ. I should be alert.
Don't try to deflect. Oh man. We'll get
how many had on your birthday, bro?
I stopped counting.
Oh man.
That's my man. That's what's up, JQ. That's what it's all about.
Oh,
that's
man.
All I like to hear.
Honest.
Celebrate.
Yeah,
celebrate. Hope you had a great birthday too, man. I love it. August
I did.
Crazy,
I appreciate
man. A lot of
y'all.
Things happening, man. Woohoo! All right, let's finally get this party started, man. We've been playing around enough, like we talked about. The numbers call into the show. It's always 424-243-9519. That's the number. Reach out,
the official luscious boss man sports.
Listen, we got you on tape on your birthday, feeling lovely. Let's not ever forget that, Mr. Robert Ford. We about to put you on
that
like you from the Jets.
That is
we
true.
Got you on
that
tape
is
on
true.
Me.
That is true. That is true, buddy.
I don't think I know this
very
well.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't me.
Yeah, we do got you on tape, bro. That's kind of like our blackmail tape. If we already need to pull that one out. And obviously, if I can get through this first part, throw out the numbers for yeah, we got the number 424-243-9519. We're on Twitter at the number 12, THMA in sports. And then finally, if you want to follow us on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. I will say real quick before we get started with all the topics, fellas, do not draft a kicker in the second round. That's all I'm going to say, man. That's all I'm going to say about that one. And we'll keep going here, too. So, yeah, we'll talk about that as well, too, because I definitely want to ask you guys a trivia question about kickers, if you will, and see if you guys will get this correct. All right, so we're literally about 2 weeks out from one of the biggest fights in the century. McGregor versus Mayweather. I'm going to throw it out to you, JQ. I think we're kind of talking about this. We've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. But who wins is the question. So I'll start with you, JQ. Who do you think who wins this?
Oh, man, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a spectacle. I think Mayweather wins, but I don't think he walks away with it. I really don't think he has, at this point in his career, knockout power. And the fact that they're going to, I believe, 8-ounce gloves today came out is going to make it just something really ridiculous. I just don't think he has knockout power. But his technique over the course of a 12-round fight or however many rounds it is, I think it's going to win out. But McGregor, he has a puncher's chance. That's why I say I don't think it's going to be – just a cakewalk that people think it's going to be. McGregor is going to be coming in unorthodox, going from a lot of crazy angles. If you want to be honest, it's a lot like why Mayweather didn't want to fight Pacquiao early on in his career when he would come and he was just more of a loose cannon and he could box, but he had those crazy angles and he was always on attack. I think he's going to have that problem with McGregor. So I think it's going to be interesting. You're going to see McGregor get caught because he just doesn't have the defense, I don't think, and the expertise, as you would expect, because he's not a boxer. He's an MMA fighter that does some boxing while he, you know, is doing his thing. But he's gonna pose a little bit of a problem for Floyd in the early rounds for sure until Floyd figures out, you know, that strategy and that bull rush. And then I think you start to see Floyd settle in. So if McGregor wins, I think it's going to have to be early where he stuns Mayweather. But if he lets Mayweather get rolling and figure out, you know, some of those angles and how he's trying to attack him, I think Mayweather goes in and wins by points.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good, Rob.
Yeah, I think, well, Mayweather, to JQ's point, I don't believe he's knocked out anybody since 2011. So, I think he's going to have to go the distance to win this, and I think he will. I think, he'll use the smarts and he'll outbox him. But, you know, as I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, Mayweather's going to be smart early in this fight, and he's going to be smart throughout this fight. To outlast McGregor. I mean, he cannot let the McGregor get the best of him early in this fight. And if he's smart, I think he'll out endure McGregor and win late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call too. And you wonder too if McGregor, you know, he's used to, like you said, JQ, kind of MMA. He's going to be used to trying to like throw some knees or something like that, and you're not going to be able to do that. It is definitely called the sweet science of boxing, man. So. Or that sweet science, if you will. And like you said, I agree with you, Robin, that, you know, Mayweather's going to be smart. He's not going to let McGregor get any punches. It's going to be a very technical fight. And it's one of those situations where I don't know if McGregor has the endurance to kind of go, so that's where he may get him near the end. So we all agree that it's not going to be an easy fight. McGregor's bigger, if you will, younger. And you know, like you said, he's kind of crazy, too, so you can't count that out, man. So it'll be an interesting fight, too. So I think that Mayweather will probably pull us out, too, obviously by decision. But very entertaining, to say the least. And yeah, next week we'll see how that plays out, gentlemen, as always.
Yep.
All right. Kicking off our second topic, And I am going to start out with Rob on this because I'm curious as far as where you're going to go in this direction, as far as who is more valuable in their respective sport, Andrew Luck or LeBron James, because I'm kind of curious where you're going with this because there's things I'm thinking of, but I want to let you set it up, and we'll respond from that perspective too. So go ahead, Rob, on the second topic.
Well, I'll admit I stole this topic from Colin Cowherd. I usually try not to do that. But I did steal this topic today from Colin Cowherd, mainly because I totally disagree with him and how he mentioned that Andrew Luck is more valuable to the Colts and the NFL than LeBron James is to the Cavs and the NBA.
Nope.
And I totally disagree with him. Obviously, I think the Colts are nothing without Luck, but they've been kind of nothing with him in the last few years. And so I can't. You know, I can't justify that Luck is more valuable to the NBA. I'm sorry, to the NFL and the Colts than LeBron James. LeBron James has been to the NBA Finals how many times? Well, 6 years in a row, and maybe a few times
more than that. Like,
and he's taken some teams where he was the only star on the team to the finals. And and so, I mean, it's not even close. I mean, I don't see how you can even come up with something more idiotic, in my opinion. And I don't care if Colin Cowherd gets to hear this, but it's the truth. I mean, I don't see how you can come up with such an idiotic statement that you believe that Andrew Luck is more valuable to the NFL than the Colts than LeBron James is to the Cavs. The Cavs weren't even going to the playoffs prior to LeBron James got there in this last go round. So, I mean, I don't think it's close, to be honest with you.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I agree. I think where he loses the argument, where it would be a closer argument if he had just kept with the Luck to the Colts or LeBron to the Cavs. I think that's a closer argument than putting Luck and the NFL in there with the Cavs and the NBA. That's where it all falls apart. There's by no means or way Luck is more valuable to the Colts and the NFL than LeBron is to the Cavs and the NBA because you got that dude that we all hate, Tom Brady, who I think is much more valuable to the NFL than Andrew Luck would probably ever dream to be, if we're being honest, right? And you can't compare that to what LeBron has meant to the NBA. I mean, that's where it just all falls apart. I think he might – I might have known where he was going with it, but I think he got carried away in his, you know, hot take by including, you know, the associations, the respective associations in that argument because Luck – I mean, is Luck even really valuable to the NFL if you step outside the city limits of Indianapolis? I don't think he is, to be quite honest. You could just draft somebody else in fantasy. I don't think he is. But LeBron James is valuable, I think, in almost every city. And that is where the difference is across the country in terms of his value to the NBA versus Luck's value to the NFL. So that's where Colin has lost that argument. But, you know, he did what he wanted to do. He got us talking about it. He got people arguing about it. He got people listening to it and posting the video about it. So a lot of the times you have to take what they say with a grain of salt. I think he knows that. I think he threw those associations in there to give it just some more heft to make people just lose their mind, so to speak, because I don't think he believes that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I agree with you both because it definitely feels like a, you know, kind of, I'm not saying playing radio, you got to have that trigger, man. But again, I had no clue about where he was thinking because LeBron James is definitely more valuable. Not only the fact that if you look about it even a couple of years ago, whenever he left to go to Miami, and financially the city of Cleveland suffered so much. After, you know, LeBron left. Mm-hmm. And then once he comes back, you know, all the businesses again, the millions of dollars that he brought back into that city, you know, just for him
it's
being
downtown.
There, the impact as far as, as far as the impact of him
big
being there.
Big influence in downtown.
Yep.
So I'm not quite sure where he was trying to go with that. I mean, I can kind of see as far as if he's trying to, like, somehow equate the fact that maybe savior of the franchise or something like that. If he went on that point, I could probably get down with him, but, you know, I'm not quite sure where he meant. But, again, Rob nailed it right on the head, too, as far as he's been the same player, whether they've had him or not so far. So this is a big season for Andrew Luck, man, because, and like I said, guys, I don't know whether to blame the Colts or I don't know whether to blame Andrew Luck just yet because, you know, the Colts, you know, I'm going to give them, you know, kind of a small pass because, of you know, their general manager wasn't doing the best as far as protecting him with that offensive line. And now, you know, once he gets all the pieces, now you're like, all right, Andrew, it's on you, bro. because I'm sure the Colts figured, man, once they got him, they went from Peyton, they're thinking, oh, from Peyton to Luck, man, slam dunk. And we all pretty much thought that. And obviously,
like
Bob and
Rogers.
Yeah, you're like, now you're looking at, maybe not, you know. And you remember the biggest argument was who's going to be better, Luck or Robert Griffin. And obviously, you got to give it a nod to Luck because he's in the league now, but not by, it's crazy now, you know what I'm saying?
Not by, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, not by a lot. Mm-hmm. And Robert Griffin III, I believe, was the rookie of the year, was he not?
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah, okay.
He was.
So, I mean, yeah.
Both of those guys took their teams to the playoffs in their rookie seasons. And obviously, Luck still has a starting job, but I don't believe he's been back to the playoffs since. And obviously,
right.
RG3's career is just kind of going downhill with the injuries.
Oh, no, his mental mind stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just is an idiot.
Craziness. All right, we're keeping this going here. So, like I said, Cowherd, thank you for that little fodder. But, again, man, you know, crack is whack. All right, let's talk about Rob Gronkowski here. And, you know, as much as I hate talking about Patriots and all that jazz, will he bounce back from injury this season? I'll throw it to you, JQ.
I mean, yeah, but he's one of those dudes that, you know, I don't hate Gronkowski. You know, like if he was on my team, and I know you feel that way about if Bill was your coach and say if Tom was your quarterback. But I feel like you could get behind Rob. He just seems like a big old lovable kid that just has freakish ability on the field. But like you said, can't stay healthy. So can he stay healthy this year? I mean, I don't think you can say it definitively one way or the other because you haven't seen him stay healthy. But I did read an article where he said that he had adopted more of Tom Brady's diet and had, you know, got into better shape, which is still remarkable because it wasn't like he was in bad shape. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like he was a guy that wasn't necessarily taking care of himself. He just, you know, playing so hard and catching a lot of hard hits and got hurt for the most part.
Yeah.
You see those injuries he's got was been as a result of some really violent collisions. You know, I don't, you know, I hate the Patriots, but I don't really dislike Rob Gronkowski. I mean, him doing well helps the Patriots do well, and I hate that. But, you know, I would like to see him stay healthy because he doesn't seem like he's a bad dude. Seems like he's just a goofball, you know what I mean, that just can play football. But I don't think you can say one way or the other because we just haven't seen it yet. But, you know, sometimes those things have a run and then they go away. And maybe he got his run out early in his career and he plays a longer career. I mean, I don't know if the fates will allow that, but that could be what it is. So, you know, I'm going to say that he plays 14 games this year, which would be great for him.
Hmm. Rob.
Oh, yeah, I think it's no question he's going to come back with a bang. I mean, yeah, you can go back to the mini camps and the OTAs. He looked like he was pretty much back to himself, you know, a few months ago. And now, of course, with training camp. Obviously, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are going to be very smart on how to utilize him here in training camp and the preseason, getting him ready for the regular season. So I don't suspect a whole lot of action out of him, but he looks pretty close to 100%, if not 100%. So I don't expect any issues with him going into the season. I think he's going to be healthy day one and starting week one. Like I said, it looked like he was pretty much back at 100%, going back to the OTAs and minicamp back in May and June. So I don't think there will be any issues. And the Patriots, I think offensively, could be really scary this season. I think with getting Gronkowski, Brandon Cooks, and I think getting Edelman and the other little white dude, I can't remember his name, but putting them back in the slot, things of that nature, putting them where they probably belong. And, you know, I mean, it
happened. Well, what are you talking about? Edelman? Who's
yeah,
talking?
Probably Hogan.
Yeah. Okay, Hogan.
I can't remember his name.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was trying to help you out. Shout out, Danny.
Yeah,
it's all good.
But Hogan and Edelman, those guys, come on, we all know it. Those guys belong in the slot. They don't need to be on the outside of the perimeter. And now you're getting a guy like Cooks who can spread the defense and a guy like Gronkowski who can go up top and pretty much come down with everything. And so I think those four weapons and obviously the diversity they're going to have in the backfield as well, it could be really scary offensively this year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can care less about them being scary and like that too. But again, it's one of those situations where, getting back on topic, yeah, I think he'll bounce back. I agree with you, Rob, in that, you know, he's going to do his thing. He does seem like he's a big kid. He's one of those kids that Yeah, man. Have a good time, man. Enjoy football, man. Enjoy life, man. So you gotta root for those guys too, JQ. You know, you're like, oh man, he's not doing anything crazy, you know. Seems like, you know, he's just having a good time and playing football, man. Just had a kind of an unfortunate couple instances with getting hurt too, man. So anyway, you know, I think he bounces back. You know, hope he does well. I mean, but not too well, obviously. But yeah, I think about that too. Let's talk about our next
listeners out there. I'm not racist. I'm just being funny. I'm half white, by the way. So,
no, we know that. I just wasn't expecting you to say it. It's so funny.
It's all good. Let's talk about J.J. Watt, man, bouncing back from this injury this season. So, yeah, I guess let's kick it off with you, Rob. What are your thoughts about J.J. Watt bouncing back, and if he will be successful with that Houston Texans defense?
Well, I guess of the two, between Gronkowski and Watt, to me, I would be more concerned about Watt, you know, mainly because it's a back injury. You know, these injuries are a lot more serious, obviously, and a lot harder to come from. That being said, I think he's going to be in pretty good shape, and I said the same thing about the Patriots being smart with Gronk. I think the Texans, you have to be super smart with him as well, coming back from the type of injury that he's coming back from as well. But of the two, he would be a little bit more concerning to me. But from all the looks of things, actually here in Houston at the moment, and spying on the Texans and training camp practice, it looked like he's going to be good to go. But you're still going to have to be smart with the type of injury that he's coming back from.
Yep. JQ.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But he's another one of those dudes that's just a freak of nature, just physically wise. But I agree. That back injury, and, you know, Gronkowski has also had a back injury as well. But if you think about what they're asked to do, Gronk is not always down the three-point stance. You know, sometimes he's standing up, but then he's coming up and going down the field and running routes, as opposed to J.J. Watt coming off a back injury trying to get low and bend that corner and get that, you know, that knee bend and that back bend, that shoulder turn to come around that offensive tackle, or those spin moves, or even a bull rush where you got to get low and thrust up into another guy like that. That, to me, makes it more tricky in terms of coming back from a herniated disc where he's coming back from. So he would, to me, be the more concerning of the two because of what he's being asked to do in terms of making his impact on the game versus what Gronk is being asked to do in terms of those injuries they sustain to their particular parts of their body. But that being said, I think J.J. Watt, he's phenomenal. He's ridiculous. There's nothing else you can say about it. If you watch the game tape when he's healthy, he just is a game wrecker. But, yes, he would be my concern just because of the nature of what he's being asked to do with the injury he's coming off of.
Good call. I don't think I have anything to add to that, gentlemen. Excellent way to analyze that. All right, let's keep this going here. Let's talk about top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Rob Porter, lead us off, bro.
Well, I know you guys are probably going to hate me for this, but it's almost impossible still not to put Tom Brady in this spot, even at 40 years old. Not only for what he's done in his career, but even coming back off of a Super Bowl victory here. So, like I said, it's almost impossible not to put him at the number one spot. Andre's probably going to like my second choice based on the year he had last season. I got to put Matt Ryan at number two. Coming off a really strong year, you know, pretty sure a lot of that's going to carry over going into this season as long as his weapons and that nature are healthy. Obviously, MVP last year. So, I mean, yeah, obviously you got to put him up there in the top five as well. Number three, he kind of came back strong at the end of the season last year after slumping toward the end of 2015 and the early part of 2016. But I still got Aaron Rodgers up there. He can get hot at any time. You really saw a lot of the old Aaron Rodgers here in the last eight games of the season last year. So expect a good bit of that to carry over as well. Offensive line play is going to be key for the Packers this season. But I have Aaron Rodgers at the number three spot. And another guy that's knocking on number 40 is knocking on the door for 40 years old. Drew Brees. I have him at the number four spot. Obviously, his defensive personnel is going to have to be better for his team to have a chance of getting to the playoffs and beyond this season. But as far as just putting up pure numbers and completion percentage, being over 70-something percent every season, and throwing for 5,000 yards and the number of touchdowns that he's thrown for, you still have to put him in the mix, and I have him at the number four position. Now, the number five position was really the hardest one for me to pick, and I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger. This one was the hardest one to pick. I kind of wrestled between Ben Roethlisberger and Derek Carr. Excuse me.
Okay.
But I'm going with Roethlisberger. Obviously, his team got to the AFC Championship game, and we look at a lot of things he's done over his career, winning two Super Bowls, pretty clutch as well. Don't have the numbers as the four guys that we just mentioned, but I think from an overall standpoint, overall play, from a team standpoint, the toughness that he brings to his team, I put Roethlisberger at the number five spot. And he plays for JQ's favorite team, the Steelers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
uh-oh,
yeah,
uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even dignifying that.
JQ, please stand up. Yep.
Yeah, I've got similar. I think you got to go with Tom Brady for everything that Robin said, and I'm not going to blow any more smoke up his butt. So I got him number one. I'm going to still go with Aaron Rodgers because, you know, if you ask me outside of, you know, maybe Tom Brady, I got you for this game or for this drive. Who do you want? And Matt Ryan can't knock his MVP career. Drew Brees is also a stud. But right now I'm still going to take Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers number two. I'm going to go with Brees at number three. That little dude is just getting it done. It has been getting it done for so long. Until I see him decline, I'm going to put those three as that holy triumvirate of quarterbacks for me. It's still the same. And number four, I'm going to give Matt Ryan his due. I think he deserved it. He's been on that cusp. We talked about it. And I think he took that step forward with that MVP season last year and the Super Bowl appearance. He's got an absolute stud in Julio Jones. It doesn't hurt. But I'm going to go with Matt Ryan, number four. Number five is really hard because I think there are a lot of worthwhile candidates. You talked about Ben Roethlisberger. You talked about Derek Carr. I'm just going to go out here on a limb. I just like the way that dude plays. I just don't think, you know, he's had the team. And I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford at number five. I think Matthew Stafford is a phenomenal quarterback just mired in the muck that is the Detroit Lions. But that five through eight or nine, if you want to throw Russell Wilson and Cam Newton into that fray as well for number five, is really close. And you can make an argument for either one that will leave anybody nodding their head like, yeah, you know, I can go with that. You know, I think you can do that. But those would be my top five.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that number five, I'll tell you, it was really hard. Really hard. I mean, you got
it
some
is.
Guys that potential like Marcus Mariota and Cam Newton and quarterbacks of that caliber as well. But there are a lot of guys out there with the potential. Obviously, Stafford, Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck is the guy all think should be there, but he hasn't been able to get there to that point yet. Based on where he's drafted and his potential. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys that you could really put in the number five spot. But one thing's for sure, we seem like we're pretty solid on the top four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. I agree 100%. And it's tough, man. I'm just happy that you guys didn't think about Geno Smith or anything like that, man. I'm just happy about you guys, man. So, good call, man. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, I'll think about Jay Cutler too, man. Oh, man, that's craziness. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel the love, man. I'm kind of like with you guys, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers first, you know, as much as I hate to admit Tom Brady second, I'll probably go Matt Ryan third. It's tough because, you know, it's kind of – I do respect Drew Brees from New Orleans too, so the only reason why I'd put him over Drew Brees is because of the fact that of what he did last season. But like I said, I do think Drew has been an amazing quarterback. So he had 5,000, you know, like over 5,000 yards, crazy like that too, man. So you got to put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, man. As far as you know, probably like rounding out with Roethlisberger. I mean, you could go, Carr, if you will, or even a Russell Wilson. But you know, Cam Newton and Matt Stafford are in there too, man. So it's just kind of tough to figure out that kind of like last
that fifth
spot.
One is tough.
But yeah, but there's so many different.
Derek Carr might be that
too.
Guy by the end of the season.
He
might be.
So that's kind of why I like that. I like that. That's a good call.
But he's got a lot of pressure. We talk about pressure, talking about Andrew Luck. Real quiet, like Derek Carr has a lot of pressure because the expectations for the Raiders are through the roof to not only win that division, but really be, you know, what Baltimore / Pittsburgh is kind of being out of the AFC North to where you look like. Can they be that team to dethrone, you know, New England from getting to the Super Bowl? they're getting a lot of hype, and not necessarily that it's not warranted, but that's a lot of pressure also to live up to it. But it's just a different kind of pressure. Lux to stay healthy and get them just over the hump into the playoffs and win the division we thought they should win. Derek Carr's pressure is pretty phenomenal to be basically the 2 seed challenging the 1 seed and potentially be a Super Bowl pick. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for Derek Carr.
And there are some publications out there that are actually picking the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl this year. So that's high expectations. I'm picking them as the second best team in the AFC this year behind the Patriots. But I've seen publications and some analysts out there that really believe that the Raiders not only a Super Bowl contender, but actually going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite see that just yet.
Me either. But the expectation of doing that, to take that next step. When you know, he's kind of been able to fly on the radar like all the Raiders are trying to come back. They ain't there yet. But now it's to the point where you expect them to be there. And that's a different level of expectation when you can fly on the radar, progress and become a good quarterback to, okay, now you have arrived and we have 13-3 expectations of you. What are you going to do, Derek Carr? That's, you know, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying it's a different level of pressure.
And when you look at this Raiders football team, we got a guy that has the potential to be a top-5 quarterback in the NFL, Derek Carr, but not quite there yet. One of the best offensive lines in the league. You can make a case that other than the Cowboys, they're the second-best offensive line in the league. I mean, they have some real road graders on that offensive line. And you probably got the best pass rush in the league in Khalil Mack. So you got some nice elements on your football team to build a championship contender. And, I mean, those are three of, other than, an elite cornerback, I mean, those are some areas that you really need to have an elite football team.
Yeah, and a wide receiver on the cusp in Amari Cooper. So, yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep, yep.
On the cusp of being one of the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Carr can throw it deep.
Yes, he can. What you doing? Yeah, you over there hitting the ball? You straight?
Rob,
what did you say?
I said, what you doing? You over there hitting the ball? You straight? You coughing and hawking?
Mm-mm.
Over there doing ball stands.
All is well.
Wow.
I thought I could help it.
That's okay. It's okay. I just got to sit back and laugh sometimes, man, because this is hilarious. I will say this just kind of really quickly as we wrap up about Derek Carr. And it's tough, man, because, I agree with Rob that, even though predictions haven't won a Super Bowl, they're quite not there yet, because I think if he would have played last year in getting that playoff experience, guys, I think that would have helped him out tremendously going into this year. Because I know it's different, I was in the playoffs. So now I feel like they kind of lost a year, not to his fault, but just because of what happened with the injury. So I do think, right now they're gonna have that challenge. And then going in the following year, definitely watch out. And you got to give them credit for getting Marshawn, because he's going to help that culture, because he's going to run hard. He's going to be, definitely help out Derek, because, the best friend of a quarterback is having that running game too, man. So, we'll see how long Marshawn and how much he's got in the tank. And if he does, if he can kind of help out. And then once they get that piece done, Raiders, they got a lot of pieces. As you mentioned, JQ, young squad, they are definitely going to be on the come up, as the young kids say. All right, let's talk about some NFC predictions. And let's kick it off with you, Rob, and JQ. Do you want to start, JQ, or Rob? I'll let you kind of figure that one out. I kind of like a balance.
I love Rob, bro.
All right, so kick us off here. We have NFC. Yep, go ahead.
All right, well, I'm going to start off with the NFC East. I like the Giants in this division this year, and I actually like the Giants even prior to the news we got of Zeke Elliott. And I'll just say this, I'm not a Cowboys or Cowgirls fan, whatever you want to call them.
But I think
what the NFL did with the 6-game suspension of Zeke Elliott is ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say about that. Y'all know how I feel about Roger Goodell, and I'm saying that, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan. But I think it's ridiculous. So I'm going to move on from that standpoint. Everybody know how I feel about Hitler and the NFL commissioner.
Got it in there. Got it in there.
Well, getting back, but I felt that way prior to the injury. I like the New York football Giants. I think offensively, I think they have an opportunity, even though Eli Manning has, he can be error-prone when it comes to INTs and fumbles, but they have a lot of potential on this football team offensively. And I think defensively they could be a lot better, too, this season. So I like the Giants. I think they have a chance – to come out of the NFC and represent them in the Super Bowl as well. So I like them in this team, in their division. Mm-hmm. I like them to be about 12-4 this season. I'm still going to pick the Cowboys second. You still got Dak Prescott, you know, rising sophomore. As I just mentioned a little while ago, the offensive line is still the stud and probably the best in the business. I think where I'm a little concerned, even prior to the Zeke Elliott suspension, is their secondary. Their back end, I think, could be really exposed defensively. And I think that's the main reason why I'm dropping them down. And I think they could probably be dropped down to even like a 9-7 kind of team this season, especially with the combination of that secondary and the Zeke Elliott being out 6 games. The Philadelphia Eagles are moving them to number 3 spot.
Wow.
Look for more growth to Carson Wentz.
Whoa.
On that football team for the Eagles. And I have the Redskins last. And more, the main concern about the Redskins is the offensive weapons. You know, obviously Kirk Cousins has really improved as a quarterback in the National Football League. But the weapons on the perimeter don't really scare me much from a defensive standpoint. So I have them rounding up the division. I think the Redskins could be like a 5-11 kind of team this year.
Wow.
Going to the NFC North. This was really tough because I think the Detroit Lions could be a really good football team, but I still got the Packers ahead of them. As we mentioned, Aaron Rodgers, obviously they went to the NFC Championship game and lost last season, but I still think they'll squeak by the Detroit Lions. And I think the Lions will be the number 2 seed, and I think the Lions will make it as a wild card. I think they'll still make the playoffs this coming season. So I like the Lions in the number 2 spot. Minnesota, I think I have them at number 3, mainly because of their defense. I think they'll still be pretty strong. Mike Zimmer, I think, will still have a solid defensive ball club this season. I have them at the 3 spot. And rounding out the division, I think the Bears and John Fox, even though Mitch Trubisky looked really good in his preseason game this past weekend, but that is preseason, and that was against second and third stringers. I still think he'll take some growing pains a little bit, but look like he's got a bright future in the National Football League. So I'm having the Bears at the number 4 spot in the NFC North. Let's go to the NFC South. And obviously, as painful it is for me to say this, I got to pick Atlanta to win the division again. I think they'll be somewhere around 11-5. Obviously, offensively, they're going to be really tough to stop with Matt Ryan and those two running backs and the weapons that they have on the perimeter. And I think their defense is good enough. It's not great, but they're getting Marcus Trufant back this season. That's not his name, Marcus.
Desmond.
Marcus Trufant is a guy that played years ago.
That's
yeah, but they're getting Trufant back on the back end of the defense. Obviously, that's going to be a big plus. They obviously made it to the Super Bowl without him down the stretch last season. So that's going to be a big help. And I think Tack McKinley is going to be a really good football player too. So that could be pretty scary from a pass rushing standpoint for the Atlanta Falcons. I think they repeat and win the division. I like Tampa to move up to the number 2 spot offensively. I think they'll be much improved. I think you'll see some improvement and growth out of Jameis Winston. And obviously the perimeters, the players that they have now, they're going to be tough to stop. Obviously you get O.J. Howard from Alabama as well, another big weapon. Yeah, they're going to be really tough to stop if Winston can get in the groove from a quarterback standpoint. And I think, once again, I think their defense will be just good enough to compete. And I think they have a chance to be a wild card team this year. Carolina is going to be interesting, the Christian McCaffrey wild card. I think he has an opportunity to be the offensive player rookie of the year this year. But I still think Carolina, I think they're going to really suffer on the back end of their defense too. And I think you're going to start finally seeing some age and attrition from their linebacking group as well. So I think they'll suffer a little bit there. I think they're, you know, borderline team somewhere around 8-8, 9-7. But I have them at the number 3 spot. And, of course, it's painful for me to say this. I have my Saints rounding up the division in last place. I think it'll probably be another 7-9 season. Offensively, Drew Brees and Sean Payton will probably carry them to those 7 wins. But, obviously, the team's already with some bad luck. Delvin Bro is already out at the cornerback position. Nick Fairley out for the season. And that's already the weakest side of of the football, and you're already seeing some players is hurting and things of that nature. So I have the Saints rounding out the division at about 7-9 again for the fourth straight season. And then we go to the NFC West. Seattle is still the king of this division, and I think they'll run away with the division too. I don't think it's going to be close.
Yep.
I think they
yep.
win by at least three games. I think yep. they win this division by at least three games. And Arizona, I have them at the number two spot. How much are they yep. going to get out of Carson Palmer? That's going to be interesting to see. But I have them at the number two spot in the division. Number three, I have the Rams in the number three spot. We're going to see, you know, how much they're going to get out of Jared Goff this season, how much development he's going to have. But eventually you would hope that Goff and Gurley will, you know, get them to the next level. And obviously you trade for Sammy Watkins. How healthy is he? You know, do you have that threesome on the offense? Obviously, we know they have one of the best defensive lines in football, so you hope that can help them on that side of the football. And the 49ers just got a long way to go, people, a long way to go, a very long way to go. They could be the second-worst team in the league this season right after the New York Jets, in my opinion. So those are that's how I see the NFC breaking down. I think my wild card picks as of right now will be the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the Giants and the Falcons in the NFC Championship game, I think the Giants go to the Super Bowl and lose to the Patriots.
Oh, role reversal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm going to throw Chicago in that mix with San Francisco just to start there. I think them two and the Jets are your 1-2-3, barring any kind of crazy trades prior to the draft. I really do. I think those two teams are going to be horrific. I'll start with the NFC East. I agree with the Giants for sure. But I still think the Eagles bring up the rear. I just don't think Carson Wentz is going to have done enough. And then trading away Jordan Matthews, I just don't think they've done enough, you know, offensively to put them over the top. Defense would be okay, but I still don't think they make too many major moves. In the middle, I can see Dallas and Washington. You know, Washington scares me having lost their weapons. Can Terrell Pryor step into that role? And Jameson Crowder. Can Jordan Reed ever stay healthy for a full season like we talked about for Gronk? And that defense doesn't necessarily scare me. But I think for all the points you talked about, Dallas, they've lost so much in the secondary. They drafted, but you got just those young guys, and you lost Zeke, and you got a great offensive line. But Zeke was special, and him and the offensive line was a special combination. I think I put Dallas 2, Washington 3, Philadelphia 4. To the NFC North, I think Green Bay. I think Green Bay does to that division what you think Seattle's going to do to the West. I do. I think the Lions are making strides, but I'm not overly super impressed with the defense. And for Minnesota, they've got a good defense, but and Sam Bradford I do not trust. And you have no idea what you're going to get from Teddy Bridgewater if you get him back at all with that horrific knee injury. I'm intrigued by Dalvin Cook, but you got, you know, Laquan Treadwell still can't even get outside the third wide receiver spot. You spent the number one pick on him. Thank you.
You
for
tell me
saving,
you're not
going to
draft
Cincinnati.
Sam Bradford on your fantasy team?
Yeah, nah, bro. He will be on the wire. So I think I'm looking at a Packers,
oh my
Lions,
goodness.
Vikings, Bears finish. In the NFC West, I totally agree. I don't need to rehash it. I totally agree with Rob. That NFC South, I think the Saints are going to bring up the rear just because they don't have a defense. But that offense is going to be enough to scare a lot of teams because they're going to force you into a shootout. But I still don't think they have enough on defense. That NFC South might be the best division in football. It might end up being close because I think that Tampa Bay team, if you look at it, I know I got caught up in the thinking the defense wasn't great, but that Tampa Bay defense the last six games, I believe, played really well
really
down
good.
The stretch. They played really well down the stretch. And then you add, like you said, O.J. Howard, Deshaun Jackson through a Cameron Brate, and a Mike Evans. If they get, you know, Doug Martin is gone for a little bit, which is going to hurt them. But they can hold water until he gets back and he can be the Doug Martin, you know, when he played for that contract, and that's the one from last year with the strides that you think I see Winston making. I agree. Tampa, to me, is my Tennessee of the NFC. I think they can be one of those sneaky teams where you say the team comes up that wasn't there before. I think they could be there and they could really challenge. But I still think I like Atlanta winning that division.
Okay, Hunter,
I'm sorry,
Hunter, real
Dre.
Quick, Vicky. I was trying to get a breath in. We got 30 seconds here for our OT. If you can set it up real quick, Rob. He was going off.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Next week, are we on the air on Wednesday again, gentlemen?
Yeah, it was fun.
Sure.
Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific. Oh, I'm sorry, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. If our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Obviously, we got more football. We got fantasy football drafts coming up, so looking forward to competing with you all again for another season. Let's make it do what it do, right, people. Join us on next Wednesday night.
I was trying to get a word in there. You were just going off, JQ.
I'm sorry. That's a big topic, though, the whole NFC.
I was like, catch your breath, bro. You just kept going. It's all good, man. All right.
My bad.
You're about to say, I'm sorry, Dre. We about to say, yeah, you guys, I know you got a different
story. Yeah, I think
it's all good. Yeah,
you know where it's going. I really think it's going to end up being the Packers and the Giants. And I don't have Mike next to me, but I think it's the Packers and the Patriots. And I don't know who wins, but I think it's the Packers and the Patriots.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. I like it. I like that. I just like your commentary, you know, because it's good. Appreciate you, Rob, being very objective with that, too. That was good to say as far as division-wise. I mean, I'm not going to rehash everything, you know, just I'm going to really comment brief about a couple things, too. And the fact that, you know, I think we all agree about the NFC East here. You know, obviously that's a tougher division. As far as, you know, the plunge for Washington, Rob, it's pretty interesting, too. Cowboys, I definitely think that Ezekiel, if he doesn't get that appeal, that's a huge hit for the Cowboys. I know Cowboys fans are really pissed about that. But I think it's going to be tough for them anyway because I think they're going to have more tape on Dak Prescott. So I think it's going to be a challenge for the Cowboys. So that could be interesting to see them flip between them and the Eagles, no matter how great that offensive line is, man. And, you know, you can talk about McFadden's kind of, you know, having his little rejuvenation, but still they're going to stack the box and really, really make Dak beat him this year because he's going to get, like, a lot of film in him too. So we'll see how he matures going into his sophomore season. You know, Packers, yeah, they got the North. We talked about that. As far as the Lions, I know that's kind of one of those teams that we always think about. Matthew Stafford, man, they've lost a lot, but hopefully they've got enough to kind of continue. NFC South, yeah, we're on the same page as far as that. And have you guys been watching the Hard Knocks? Have you guys been watching that?
I have not.
By the way, okay, it's been pretty interesting too. I mean, I'm kind of like 50-50 on that too because Jameis has definitely been a leader, man. It's good to see him doing his thing. I mean, I'm, you know, not that there's certain characters that you like, but he's very, you know, gregarious, just a cool guy, man. So I've been watching that as well, too, man. But we're in agreement as far as my Falcons taking over that division. You know, I think Tampa Bay second, like we talked about, Carolina. And then, unfortunately, the Saints just have a lot of challenges here, which is kind of sad as far as Drew Brees is so talented as they wrap that up. We talked about the West. We're on agreement, Seattle. I was thinking that they were going to totally – Seattle wasn't going to totally run away with that, but we'll see how the Cardinals can kind of show up because they weren't that far away. And then now, you know, maybe it's a quarterback play as well. You got to like the drafting that they did. I love Buda Baker for them. That secondary is going to be fantastic, obviously, with Honey Badger back there. But then you do kind of have to worry about the quarterback play. And then, obviously, the timeless wonder of Larry Fitzgerald, they have somebody else to kind of compliment him. So that's what you got to worry about with them. And then the Rams making some moves. You know, they decided they wanted to go for Sammy Watkins. And we'll see if that plays out for them, gentlemen, as far as that. Because, again, they were kind of missing that big play guy. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be disappointed in the fact if Sammy can't stay healthy, but that was the challenge that he had with the Bills. So, again, we'll see that. And 49ers, like you said, it was interesting watching. I was watching the preseason game. I got to talk to my pops, my father-in-law, because I saw a lot of the same plays that he had for the Falcons. So it was interesting to see. And they're still obviously a couple years away from that. I do have this question to ask you, gentlemen, before we move on to Major League Baseball. And I got to say, you guys know this is a trivia question. Who was the highest kicker drafted in the NFL in NFL history? Do you guys know?
Seabass.
Good guess. That's funny.
I think he got drafted in the late first round by Al Davis or
Seabass.
Early second.
You said Seabass?
Yeah.
You talking about the
yeah.
Sabasky? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Okay. Okay. That's one guess. What do you say, Rob?
I know the Saints couple of idiots back in the day and took a punt in the first round. What was it, Russell Erchlakson?
I'm talking about a kicker though. Yeah, but that was a good kick. Yeah, the Saints drafted pretty high too as well. But yeah.
Kicker.
The highest
Martin
kicker
Anderson
was
a first round pick.
No, he was not a first round pick. Nope.
Third or fourth.
Russell, you're right about Russell. He was drafted 11th overall by the Saints. Yeah. But,
is it Wines in the room?
This is tough. No? Nope.
I'm out of guessing.
We're not talking about the guy that was the kicker and the quarterback back in the day.
No. That's a good call, too, but no, not him. If you would guess, like, what number he was, by the way, I'm just curious. This is tricky. I look. He's actually number 6 overall. Charlie Gogolak was drafted in the first round, 6th overall pick by the Washington Redskins. Believe it or not. So, Charlie Gogolak, Gogolak. I looked this up.
I never got that.
Now, man, it's just interesting that he was. Just to let you know, Sebastian Janikowski, he was actually drafted.
He was
drafted the first round, as mentioned. Yeah, he was 24th. Yeah, he was pretty low. But it was one of those rare trivia questions. I mean, who was the first? Because you think about what happened with, I'm obviously second round. I mean, that's pretty high too. I know Mike Nugent was drafted pretty high in the second round as well. If you think about, whenever you think about somebody going like number in the first round, how high are you going? Really going? Because you're thinking Sebastian Janikowski, that's probably as high as you go. But yeah, somebody drafted the 6th overall. He had a brother. And he's the highest kicker in history, and he's probably the first only one that was dropped in the top 10. Though. So, apparently his career last longer than Charlie. Okay, just one of those things too. But anyway, that was just kind of one of those random things too that I figured you guys could kick out too, man. Because somebody didn't make mistake, but decided, hey, we're gonna go kicker first round. That dude must have been freaking fantastic. I don't know why you would even draft that high, but anyway, it's all good. But let's keep this going, gentlemen. Enough of that trivia, and we got about. I wasn't doing a good job on time that last round. I was letting you guys talk. Let's talk about the Cubs and Wrigley Field, and I guess I'm gonna throw this to you, Rob. The topic is, should the Cubs replace Wrigley Field? I'm gonna say no. An emphatic hell no, but I don't even know why this is coming up, so I'll let you have that have the floor on that one, Rob.
Well, obviously, it's not one of these state-of-the-art modern stadiums that you've seen being built today in really just about all of professional sports. But, man, it's just so much character to that ballpark right now, and they've done enough renovations to it to keep it on a level of a major league park. So, obviously, if you're the Chicago Cubs, you got to do everything you possibly can to preserve that stadium and keep making the upgrades to it to keep it a major league park, but also keep the character that park has on the north side of Chicago. It's not San Francisco AT&T Park right on McCovey Cove, but, they have to do what they can to preserve that park as much as possible. For the Chicago Cubs, in my opinion.
Is this even being discussed? I mean, how is this even coming up, I guess, is the question. That someone's talking about refreshing.
Well, they are starting to have some discussions about, what can they do to preserve the ballpark going forward.
Gotcha. Classic. Yeah. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. I can't see the Cubs not playing the Wrigley Field. It's one of the two that are left to me. Unless I'm missing another one, then feel free to call me out. But that
Fenway Park,
and Fenway,
Austin.
You can't get rid of Fenway. Yeah. Those are the two that I would look at and say those are two that you just cannot get rid of. But, the counterpoint to that is I never thought that they would get rid of Yankee Stadium, and they did.
Yeah.
And you talk about history and everything that went on in Yankee Stadium, and they got rid of that one. I mean, I don't think it should happen, but I can't say it won't happen given – the fact that that happened with Yankee Stadium. But baseball is such a traditional, purist sport, probably more than any other of the other ones, that I can't see it. I can't see them getting rid of Wrigley Field because I feel like they would not destroy Wrigley Field. They would make it some kind of museum or something and keep it and try to keep it you know, kind of sterilized for years to come. And I feel like if you're going to do that, then you might as well just keep playing in it. I mean, as much money as they're making the Wrigley Corporation, you know, because everybody buys freaking chewing gum, they're making money hand over fist. They're going to be okay to be able to just renovate from the inside. And it's never going to have, you know, the pool and the you know, all the bells and whistles that everything else has. But I don't think that people want that in baseball. And I think they're perfectly fine with going to Wrigley the way it is. As you know, you got to keep the bricks up and the ivy on the outfield wall, but you got to keep Wrigley with the Cubs. You just have to.
Amazing. We got 5 minutes left in the show, which is crazy to me how we flew by on these topics too. But yeah, I mean, never say never, like you said, JQ, because the reason why I don't have the pool, and you thought about that because they're thinking, man, how can they capitalize, making more money? They're just keep building on. They're adding extra seats. I mean, just keep rebuilding. That's like a classic. That's one of those things you have to visit. You know. Wonders of the world too, but good call on that as well. Any last things on that, Rob?
Nope, I think we're good with that.
John Carlos Stanton, hits six homers in six straight games. You want to comment on that, JQ, and then give it to Rob, and we'll wrap this bad thing up.
Yeah, the tear that he's been on has just been phenomenal. And if you go back, I believe to July 5th, he has now hit 23 home runs since July 5th. That's a good season for, like, a second baseman or something like that. You're like, oh, that dude hit 23 home runs last year. That's pretty good. He got some decent power. This dude has hit 23 home runs since July 5th. Like, it's just a ridiculous tear that he's on right now. And you talk about being locked in, and we always knew he could do it. He just couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, getting hit in the face is not anything that he can really control. But, you know, him being healthy and being locked and loaded this year, he's showing you what he can do in the maturation with it. I was surprised that he actually put through revocable wires, and he passed, went through unclaimed. So Miami can now trade him if they want to, which I was like, why would you trade him? He's probably the only thing drawing people to the stands. But if you can get a big old haul for him, I guess you got to think about the long-term future of the franchise. But Stanton is just on another planet right now.
I wonder if the Yankees are going to be looking at him. Go ahead, Rob. Uh-oh.
Oh yeah, I mean, Yankees eat him. Plus, I'm sure you know he don't want to stay on a sub-500 team like the Miami Marlins, and it's just so unfortunate that you know, obviously he's on a bad team right now with what he's doing. I mean, you're talking about what he has 11 home runs in the first 15 days of August. Man, it's incredible. I mean, if he stays on that pace, he's gonna have 22 home runs for the month of August. I'm sure he'll probably come a little bit short of that. But still, that's incredible to have 11 home runs in the first 15 days. He's got 17 homers since the All-Star break. I mean, he leads the major leagues by 44, and he's got 10 more than anybody else in the National League. I mean, he's on pace for about 60 or so for the season. I mean, that's unheard of since the steroid era of baseball.
Yeah, it's phenomenal to watch.
Man, we are – sit back, gentlemen. We're watching some history. All right, let's wrap this thing up, Rob. We got about 3 minutes here. Go ahead and wrap up the show as we get ready to prepare for next week.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on at 11 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday night of next week. Once again, that would be Wednesday night. I believe that would be August 23rd on next week. I believe our first fantasy football draft is on Tuesday night, August 22nd. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a lot of fun, obviously getting ready for the football season. Once again, we'll be on the air Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Aloha. Good night, people.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, downloading the podcast. We'll catch you next week, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say prayers for Charlottesville and everybody that went through that this past weekend, and hopefully the healing continues and we can get it on a better track. I'll let you guys next week.
JQ adding the definite social consciousness touch to that too, man. We try to talk a little bit to, you know, try to talk about some issues too as well, man. That's a tough thing, man. So it's just, I don't want to get caught up in that just too much, but yeah, man, it's prayers for Charlottesville, man. I've been to Virginia. I gotta admit, it's not too far off, man. They're still have a lot of deep-rooted feelings up there, man. So, it's one of those crazy things too. But anyway, we appreciate everyone joining in. I hope you guys enjoy listening to the show. Apologies that I didn't keep the time this time, gentlemen. I was just kind of going with the flow, but we always Have fun, as you always do. But until next week, Rob sliding in the tag here, as always, sliding in at home. Much love, and appreciate the birthday love. And we'll catch you guys same time, same channel next week. Unless you have anything else to say, we are wrapping this bad boy up.
No, sir. I'll let you folks next week.
You got to stay off of that weed high next week, man, so you can pay attention to the time.
Uh-oh.
It's your boy, JQ. It's your boy, JQ.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the people. We holler next week.
I'm just saying, bro. He tried to get me triggered.
As they say in the hood, come and get your uncle.
Oh, my gosh, man. This guy be getting bold. He be sliding home, talking about he on time. It's all good. Next week, Rob.
I'll talk to you next week.
You're not on time, bro. You're not on time until I click the button. Hey, man, it's been fun. See you guys next week.
I'll holler at y'all later.